Tower is back.
This is Appa, my flying bison.
Right.
And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Tak Fei Fong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko, you look so cute.
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing our sparrow keys.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on!
Shuffle on, I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongbuFang.net. I'm your main host Dylan, and I'm joined by co-host Jake.
Hello.
Elisa.
Booyah.
Melanie.
Hello.
Ruth.
Hello.
Abby.
Hi.
And Shay.
Hi.
Okay, so send us your questions at podcast@dongbuFang.net. Send us a question about Avatar for the mailbag segment, and you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. The podcast page is dongbuFang.net/podcast. Today's podcast may be a little slow, maybe a little short. So we'll start off with news and views, dongbuFang Avatar news, we'll have all the rants on the fandom within there, season 1, then we'll move on to discussion on season 1, the end, episodes 115 to 120. We'll have a thoughts segment on the history of the podcast / production and also climate bending, and then we'll
climate bending.
That's gonna be 10 minutes of inside joke. So then we'll move on to a mailbag and close things out. So let's go to our news and views. Okay, in your dongbuFang news for this week, dongbuFang's winter event, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, is here. We'll be announcing the 313 to 317 titles all throughout the winter. Currently, we have revealed clues to the 316 crossword every day. Check it out at the main page, dongbuFang.net/site1. And also, the fandom Olympics are about to start. So, Jake, any update on that?
Yes. We're getting... Yeah, it'll start next Friday.
Apparently.
The
25th. So check that out at
AvatarOlympics.net.
Okay. Yeah. So several good teams we got there, and it should be very good competition. Biggest fandom thing ever. So yeah. Check it out on fandomslux.com. Yes, that's right. Okay.
Yes.
No, that's now. But Avatar news, and that's when we talk about the fandom sucking.
Why does the fandom suck?
Now. Okay. What?
Wine, that's why they suck.
Okay, so, you know, I like to...
Canada.
Here's what the past 5 hours of my life were. Canada, why did they be 14? I should have all my episodes 3 months before they're supposed to air because I'm the best. Okay, nobody cares if you don't get your little episodes early. You shouldn't be watching them anyway. You're committing a crime to get them early. And you're not in Canada unless you are in Canada, in which, ignore this thing. So don't stop complaining, stop going 11 pages on a thread, and then 7 more, and then getting it locked by Avatar Mom. Don't do that, because that would be the Yes, we do stock ASN forms. Okay, so, please. No, it just pisses me off beyond belief. That's like, I'm more mad at the fandom right now than Nick and YTV. YTV is actually doing good by Star. So yeah, about that. YTV aired 302 today, or whenever you're listening to it, the past Friday. So yeah, it's at the rate they're going now, it'll air.
I've got it open. Hold on. Where did it go?
It'll air late March. March 28th, I think, is what Elisa has down for YTV.
Yeah, YTV 312 would be March 28th again, 313 April 4th, and 314 would be April 11th.
Yeah, for YTV. Nick, it's a little more complicated, but I'm fairly sure it'll be March 28th for Nick, too. Nick also, that doesn't really coincide with some stuff, but the finale, I'm nearing 100% sure, will air on May 16th. But don't hold the anything. But that's like the only possible... That's the latest possible date it could air while still being in May sweeps. So that's, like, the only logical date there is.
Right, and we know from the DVD release that 3:15 has to air on April 25th or earlier for the DVD to come out in April.
Yeah, so... Exactly, so 3:15 must air before then, April 25th. So yeah, we don't have many solid facts, but we can speculate a lot on this. So
yes.
None of it's for sure, but I don't know. We've had a pretty clear picture since like September. Me and Jake have been saying late March for a while, but whatever. And yeah, I ranted, right?
Yes.
So yeah, let's move on to our discussion on 1:15 to 1:20. Today we will be continuing our segments, recapping all of the episodes shown so far. The purpose of these is to find out the main theme of the episodes, which will help us speculate about the finale later on. Today we will be discussing the end of Season 1, which I have classified as 1:15 to 1:20. Bato of the Water Tribe, the Siege of the North, Part 2. Okay, so how was the end of the season, quality-wise?
Excellent.
Excellent. Whoa.
Yeah, so for me, this continued the most amazing stretch in the history of Avatar. No episodes I really disliked in there except 1:17 a little bit, but...
Oh, come on.
I don't know, to me 1:17 was rushed. It was rushed, and it was... They didn't as much focus on the temple as they did on, you know, the people living there and everything. But it was Elizabeth's first episode, and it was good. I don't know, it was a good episode, it wasn't an episode I normally like.
It would have been nice if they'd been able to have more time to develop a lot more of the culture, definitely.
Yeah, and I don't know, I just don't like, I hate Teo. Really. and the Mechanist, he's don't really like him, and yeah.
But he's Rene Auberjonois!
Okay.
What?
Odo, dude, Odo! Alright?
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's run through.
He was also the Ganjin leader back in The Deserter, but maybe that's why you don't like him.
yeah.
The Great Divide.
I said The Great Divide.
Oh, yeah, right. Great Divide, sorry. Ah!
I kind of defended The Great Divide. But yeah, okay, so let's run through these episode by episode.
You defended it, I defended it!
Yeah,
oh,
no,
wow.
I'm not... On the opposite spectrum of it. 1:15, Bato of the Water Tribe. Written by Ian Wilcox, first of all, who never wrote an episode before and never wrote an episode after, which is interesting because this had a lot of plot in it.
It had a lot of things that we didn't see in any other episodes. It's kind of obvious, yeah.
Yeah, it's that whole Water Tribe, Ice Dodging Custom, and then the Marks.
And June. The whole June bit.
June is probably one of the greatest.
June. Yes.
Secondary characters ever.
Yes.
June's Spark Back ship.
Behind Jong.
Junro is definitely the best ship there is, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I'm just saying that June Spark before Junro. You know, she broke up with Combustion Man, and then she went to Zyro.
June Spark, okay. Even though he's a Combustion Man. But anyway, so yeah, Bato of the White Tribe. In my opinion, this started out as a very traditional episode. It's like... I mean, this isn't a traditional TV plot, but it's like the whole main character trying to hide something to get the people not to leave him. It's not a traditional storyline after looking over it, but it's traditional. So the first half of the episode to me wasn't good. I didn't really, you know, I hate seeing Aang upset. I mean, that's like, we've established this, that when Aang's not happy, I'm not happy. So yeah.
First half,
I didn't like. But then the second half was amazing. To me. Was, the whole Zuko and Aang fight was one of the best of the series. And
That was awesomely choreographed. Yeah. Great.
And then Aang getting the necklace at the end and then the cat Aangus was great. But
Oh, that's right.
And there's here's the hidden Zutara right here, is that
I actually have hidden Zutara.
Yes.
Katara.
Well, it's not even hidden, it's blatant.
It's right there, exactly. Yeah, it's Zutara straight out there. It's that Aang. That's also Zukang there, because Aang would have to kiss Zuko, so there's some Zukang and some Zutara.
Well, but see, here's the thing, is that June is a Zutara shipper, because she acknowledges that Katara is Zuko's girlfriend.
I think she's more making fun of Zuko, but sure.
Yeah, why don't you just go with that, because I don't like the one I wrote for this.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, give me 2 seconds to change it. I bet you I can change it in 2 seconds.
No, that's okay. So yeah, I think
it's so canon, you can't even see it. It's too great for you.
Sure. Whoa. And then Giancarlo Volpe directed this one of the best direction jobs I've ever seen. But, I mean, just the whole fight. There's several scenes. A
couple months ago, you were bashing this episode, dude.
I know, because I don't like the beginning. I just really don't. But then, the direction. I mean, Volpe did the whole... The one scene that sticks out in my head is when Aang's lying on the ground and Zuko's running on the rooftop charging and he has the fire lifting out of his hands in front before he tries to hit Aang with that. That just sticks
out. The rooftop fighting kind of reminded me of Mulan, but, you know, I'm a...
Mulan. Okay. So, yeah.
I love that.
Oh, man.
I didn't rewatch
it. Yu would be an awesome, like, side character to add in, just like a background character.
Okay, wait, I rewrote it.
Okay, give us the Hinzutara for 115.
Okay. Hinzutara. Zuko clearly had that necklace for months. Therefore, he's an obsessive stalker for Katara.
That's it?
Okay. That is golden.
Genius.
It's genius.
Okay.
Is amazing.
By the way, I
spelled obsessive wrong. Proof right there.
I only rewatch 115, 117.
That is proof of Hinzutara right there.
Next was 116, The Deserter, Jake's favorite episode. Written by...
Zhongdong is amazing.
Zhongdong is amazing. Even though he's supposed to concentrate on what he's doing from our opening.
The name's so cool.
They should bring him back, man.
They should, but they
will. I'm naming my kid that. That and Optimus.
You're naming your kids Optimus Prime and Zhongdong.
Yeah, don't you ever listen to
that. Okay, and...
My kid's getting named Zhongdong, definitely.
This was the first episode with Tim Herrick writing, and it was...
Tim is amazing.
He started off with a heavily plot-influenced episode. Even though, if you think about it, I mean, they referenced it before, but... at the end of season one, it didn't have much significance, but it comes back into play later in the series, really, more. The whole...
What?
Aang not wanting to learn firebending and everything, so...
Definitely.
Then the season two finale, it's definitely coming up. I mean, in 312, you know it will, so...
Yeah.
It's important episode. So, yeah.
I thought he forgot all about that, but...
Zhongzhong's like, amazing.
With the season two finale, though, I thought he completely forgot about his fears of not firebending anymore,
but
though.
Yeah. Aang remembers. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's... And then the whole Zhao, I mean, that's enough. I mean, let's just say Zhao, and then it's enough.
Yeah, Zhao makes any episode 10 times greater.
What did you call him?
And
Zhao or something Zhao. Until he comes back to life? Zhao?
Yeah, he's back to life in my head, so I'm gonna let you go. Remember, Zhao is an Olympic swimmer. And
yes!
He comes back, yep. And he visits Anji's town before 302.
In Arctic water.
And that creates Anjiao. Best ship ever. Okay. And...
Oh, wow. Pedophile.
Wait, what?
And then Pedo Bear comes back. Like, oh.
I'm
okay,
thinking
so,
that's
yeah.
a little bit illegal, but...
So... Not in May.
He's in his 30s.
Dylan, don't even start.
Okay, so... who knows the rules of this situation? I mean, seriously. Okay, so, yeah. Deserter, it's the whole Aang tricking Zhao. It's over-aggression. Great, great development for Aang.
That's great. Yes,
you can see Zhao. You could see Zhao is be one to get over aggressive there. I mean, it was great. So yeah,
yes,
great episode. A lot of progress. Aang firebends. So yeah,
one of my favorite parts I'd still say is in the beginning with the masks that they have the different masks and Katara switches them around and makes Sokka the sad one and Aang the happy one.
Yeah, that was a good
best part of the episode was the Ozai puppet.
The Ozai
puppet flakes.
Oh
flakes.
My god, dude.
Forget
puppet flakes. Puppet flakes fail.
No, what are you talking about? Puppet flakes are amazing. I mean, seriously.
No.
It's puppet flakes.
Nobody even knows what they are.
Nobody knows what anything is. They listen to the podcast, and they have no idea what we're talking about. It doesn't matter.
K-S-T. Everyone uses it, but I have no idea what it actually
is. Zuko can't say toaster. That's all you need to say. Okay,
Zuko can't say toaster.
Exactly. So,
because he just can't say it.
He's a lift. Great episode. The only part I didn't like was the "you burned my sister," and then after the commercial break, "you burned my sister." I just take the repetitive stuff.
Yeah, and I thought that particular line was voice acted a little bit weird. I suppose Jack DeSena.
Jack DeSena. Yeah, he's not into the more dramatic stuff.
He struggles a little with the angry. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Dylan's performance was a little bit more emotional than Jack DeSena's there.
No, I'm too tired. It's 1 a.m.
Oh, that's...
Okay.
I know, I'm sorry, but...
Let's move on. Northern Air Temple. See, as we already talked about this a little, but... You know, Kin was in it. Kin was pretty awesome. I think Northern Air Temple had the single greatest ending out of any episode. this defeat is a pathway to many victories, I think it was.
Never mind the fact that we had to wait a season and a half.
Oh, screw that. Wait. It was
paid
great,
off.
Though. It paid off, yeah.
It's great,
it
yeah.
It made your plots.
It did.
Zuko riding the thing to the Western Isles.
I'm singing.
It's, I don't know, this, the fight was pretty awesome, the development of bombs and stuff.
It's
I don't
think they, candle.
I don't think they actually, oh god, 4-0 candle. I don't think they actually,
dude, that's brilliant.
It was, and it was terrible. I don't think it actually hit on the episode well enough. I mean, they hit on the temple well enough. I mean, it showed how it was being,
The tanks.
The tanks?
The tanks are the single reason that you should love that episode. That was, the tanks are amazing.
Martin and Wade come on to disagree about that, but anyway, so yeah, tanks are profanity to Martin. So yeah, just like Zutara is profanity. Okay.
CG for the thing.
I like the thing about the Northern Air Temple was when you first saw the temple and saw how steampunk it was, and I was just, wow, cool, they're bringing in steampunk. But, you know, that's not in a dork.
That's a good reason to like it. Okay. Anyway, let's get
no, not inner dork. I should say outer dork, because everyone knows I'm a dork.
Yeah, we're all dorks. I mean, no, we're all nerds. It's we're beyond.
I'm not a nerd, I'm a dork. There's a difference.
Secret nerds.
Oh, secret nerds.
What no, wait, heck? No, ready? Here comes the song.
Secret.
Okay, now we move on to
secret
the finale.
Secret friends.
We move on to the finale trilogy, and this just set the.
Dude,
I mean, you can't get past the season finale. No, just
Iroh,
all three episodes.
Yes.
Tweet a poll on the main page, podcast 27 poll. How was the Northern Water Tribe trilogy? And then 368 people voted. 50% of them said 10 out of 10, amazing. 37% said 9 or 8 out of 10, good, great. 8% said 7 out of 10, good. 2% said 5 or 6 out of 10, all right. And 1% said bad, which those people are stupid. But,
yeah.
Well, maybe they were just upset that Zhao died.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
that
terrible.
Broke my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like crying for like
hours. Seriously.
After that.
You can't get better than this trilogy at the end of season one.
Yeah,
Mr. Mumbles was crying.
Yeah. All those inside jokes. Wow. Okay, so yeah.
That was epicness.
It was great. The whole UA Sokka romance was amazing. The Aang.
Well, I used that to justify some Hidden Zutara, too.
Yeah, the Hidden Zutara with the. I mean, my one of my favorite lines ever. You rise with the moon, eyes rise with the sun. Even though
that's
it has Zutara implications, it's still amazing.
That's
and.
My favorite was actually the, you little peasant.
That's a little stupid, like,
the
what?
Most insignificant line. Yes. Anyway, yeah, it's.
Oh, the season 2 finale is on.
Like, wow, burn.
And then, the pirates coming back and,
sweet.
Bombing and assassinating Zhao, paying the pirates to just assassinate Zuko. It's great.
That was brilliant.
Brilliant. It's 1 a.m. Give me a break. Okay, so yeah.
I love
oh,
the
and, yeah,
that plot.
We have determined through knowledge of inside sources that Brian was the one who voiced the gay pirate, a.k.a. the pirate Barker, in both 109 and 118.
And Dylan was wrong!
Yeah,
thank
I didn't think Brian would disguise his most amazing voice performance ever with the name Byron McKittrick. That's
doesn't want to be known as a voice actor.
That's cuckoo. That was the most greatest voice act line ever.
And you just completely
and Brian
killed
did
it.
Brian did it. I mean, I have a whole
you
new
just completely killed it.
I know, I did. It's 1-8.
Dylan,
okay. You broke the crossword, you know.
I know, seriously.
Yeah,
like,
way to go!
I broke the crossword.
Way to mess the entire crossword up.
If Brian was a little more honest, then it wouldn't have to be. Yeah, so anyway.
Would you like to, you know, send him a letter and tell him?
Okay, I'm gonna go.
You broke my crossword?
One of them probably listens to this anyways, so it doesn't matter.
Well, now he knows.
Be nervous, the creators listen to the podcast. Okay, no, they don't actually, but.
I'm nervous.
Close to the creators listen to the podcast. Okay, anyway, favorite, yeah, so then the end was great, Zhao was great in the finale, let's write history. Yes. How can you get any...
Zhao the Moon Slayer!
Yeah, exactly. How can you...
We're
Zhao
going
the Conqueror.
Fishing.
How can you get any greater... No. Yeah, we're going fishing.
Yes, that is...
I'd have to say, if Zhao was not cool before this, Jason
epic
Isaac made him that much cooler.
Exactly.
He totally
yeah.
did make him epic with a K in the finale.
Epic
with
a K. Oh, yeah.
There you go, Poke.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anyway.
There you go, Poke.
Okay. So many inside jokes, nobody's gonna understand this. Okay,
Should put out like a dictionary.
It was just the season, and you know, after watching the season one finale, I said, single greatest hour of television I've ever watched. And, you know, I don't think I can revoke that now. Yeah, after seeing the rest of Avatar, nothing beats season one finale. I mean, even after KV2 Lovers was a half hour. That's why it doesn't beat. That's why it's not the greatest hour ever.
Are we judging this collectively together as the trilogy?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sorry. That was out loud.
The trilogy, nothing beats the trilogy, except maybe the finale. The series, but we haven't seen that yet.
We don't see it early.
Whoops,
we already watched it. what was, okay, we discussed season one finale. It was great, season one finale, amazing. Favorite episode within these, other than the finale, the trilogy, other than the trilogy. Yeah,
part two, season two.
Amazing.
The best.
No, that was my favorite line when he says, "You've come to me with a new face."
Yeah,
Co. Yeah, so great voice actor Eric Todd Dillon.
Aaron did amazing. Aaron created.
Great character design too.
I think Aaron did the character design for Co, which actually is usually the people in the episode don't do the characters. I mean, that's the impression I got from the commentary. 120. I think Aaron actually did he either did the character design or he actually created the character. Or, like,
he did something for the character.
It said he created the character.
He said he created the character of Co.
So,
Mike said that.
Right, and again with Heibei, that Aaron loved Heibei so much, which is why Heibei made an appearance again.
Heibei was amazing. To guide you back. So, yeah, it was...
The spirit monkey.
Oh, the monkey! The monkey has...
The spirit monkey.
No other line, I quote.
Wasn't that a trivia question? Like, what was his robe color or something?
Orange, purple,
blue, red.
See, seriously, no line, I quote more in Avatar than monkey's line from 120. It's Gu-e-wit.
He reminded me of that monkey from the Lion King.
I say that every time my parents come into my room, and it's
reminded me of Rafiki. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Rafiki.
Don't say anything else from Avatar. Mark Hamill in real life, except
dude. I gotta give it to Mark Hamill. He was amazing.
Referring to him as Rafiki from now on.
Yes.
Mark Hamill, also the voice of the Fire Lord, right?
Yes.
So yeah.
And also the voice of the Joker, which is why he rules.
Okay. we got that. What was presented during these amazing stretch of episodes, 115 to 120? Major plot development, 118 to 120, obviously. Character development / relation development, 115 to 116, and plot development but not major, 117. So yeah, what was learned from the conclusion of the season? This is what I want to say. Okay, at the end of the season, here's their situation. They've a master within their group, Katara. Aang is learning waterbending, and he's eventually to become a master. And
Sokka got a love interest that was more than one episode.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about major plot. That's really it. So yeah, Zhao.
Kiss of death.
True. No. Remember, Olympic swimmer. But still, I mean, Zhao, Zuko, see. And what I'm trying to say, I don't know, looking back at it, not too much happened. But I mean, it's the season one, so you can't expect too much to happen. So yeah, it's...
The thing about the finale... A lot happened, and we were given a lot more window into the past. Because I think this was the first time that we heard anything about any avatars before Kyoshi. Because Ko mentions what we would later learn to be Kurik. And we learned some more about Iroh's past when Zhao mentioned that Iroh made a journey into the spirit world, which we still haven't seen. I want to see that so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And
during the last podcast, it was established that the first season was mostly getting to know the characters and everything, but thanks to the finale, we actually got to see a bit more about waterbending and everything, so that whole concept brought to the table more.
Here's the point I'm trying to make, though. Season 2, you see Aang learning earthbending, a new member join their group, Blasting Say falls, all this, they track around the Earth Kingdom, I mean... So much is packed into season two, but season one, I mean, major plot-wise, what really happens? I mean, they protect the Northern Water Tribe from an attack.
That's pretty big.
I mean, it's just, that's how it was before, though. It's like, Aang learns... I mean, this. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I mean, I absolutely loved that not too much was
this
crammed
in. This is blasphemy.
This is... Okay, so it's...
No, it's a forest.
Okay, so yeah, it was,
What?
Moving on, it was...
Oh my god, a bridge to watch it.
No, no.
Yes.
This From the Spare World podcast does not endorse Avatar Bridge series in any way whatsoever, and would not like to associate themselves with that series.
Oh my god.
Oh, you did that really well.
Okay, so...
Been practicing, Dylan.
No. Anyways, yeah. Let me make my point. I was trying to say is that Season 1 was not jammed-packed and rushed through. I mean, it had a specific plot line, and it met it, and it met its requirements. I made this point before, and it successfully accomplished everything it needed to, and it threw in the whole villain side and stuff we didn't know to just put the whole kid story on its head. And then Season 2, though, is just all over the place. Too much just thrown in, and...
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but when they made Season 1, they didn't know they were going to be going on to make Season 2 and Season 3, correct?
They knew, but they didn't know, like...
Well, you'd have to at least assume that first.
Yeah, they were planning. They had Azula ready from the beginning. But so,
right, but they didn't know...
We saw her flashbacks the first again. Season.
Yeah, they didn't really...
Yeah, it wasn't like Nick ordered all three seasons right up. Yeah, they only got, like, 13-episode order.
I actually think they ordered the second season by the time... The first season wasn't done with production yet, and they already ordered the second season. I'm almost certain of that.
Yeah.
So, because they came on Bam Bam, first, second seasons. So, yeah, what was the point I was trying to...
Well, there was actually a December to March break, but, yeah.
Yeah,
well, yeah, and then there was this December to September break that was just,
Yeah.
So, yeah, the point I was trying to make was that Season 2, it's just, we have the storyline we're going on, Aang's gonna learn Earthquake from Boo. Oh, wait, no, Boo, maybe we get off. Okay, Boo, we go. Oh, there's an eclipse. Oh, we have to go to Ba Sing. Oh, Ba Sing Se is full of corruption. Oh, so we have to
do oh, no.
this. It's like, the series turns on its head once we get to the library. I mean, I'll make this point when we get
that's
there.
That's the turning point.
It's the turning point, but then you go back, and at the end of Day of Black Sun, what is accomplished? Everything reverts itself back to 209, and back to at the end of the Season 1, and stuff like that. This is why Season 1 can't be beat for me. It's just, they go on what they are doing, and they accomplish their storyline successfully, nothing there.
You can't really repeat the first season, because it's the first season that's building everything up.
Yeah, it's...
In the way, that's what makes it epic.
The originalness of it.
Yeah.
You can't say originals, though. I mean, I'm like, for me, every first season is the best, but it's still...
Except well, season,
original.
Season 2 was good because of Zuko's development, not because of Aang's.
Yeah. Like, in the first season, it was...
Like, there was
the
end. So,
I
actually think Aang may have developed just... Aang's development was good within Season 2. It's just the whole storyline development.
Yeah.
I think Zuko's development was actually better within the first season, in my opinion.
No, I liked it in the...
It was just all over the place in Season 2.
Exactly. That's...
No, like... That, at the end of Season 2, he was back to where he was right at the end of Season 1. It's like stuff like that. It's
well, that makes sense, just because he's...
Literally,
that's
sense,
the way he is.
Like,
he's all over
the
place with this.
The development and everything. But whatever. We'll have this discussion, like, three times more once we keep hitting on the same episodes leading up to it. So, yeah. Main theme of 115 to 120. I have no idea. You guys know.
Epicness? I don't know.
Epic.
That was the
learning.
Theme, I guess.
Zutara.
I don't know.
I'd say learning.
Zutara, yes.
No, learning
Zutara
is
was
theme.
The theme.
Zutara developed.
Zutara was the theme, yes.
Zutara was the theme.
Hold on, let me think.
Which I still have on here.
Well, because learning in Bato of the Water
you
Tribe...
Can't know you didn't. You, learning isn't the theme. That's we've been over this. It's, like...
No, sorry! This is only my second podcast, right?
Hey, you... 106 to 1... 101 to 106, Destiny. Okay, 106 to 114...
Can I say self-discovery?
No, Discovery's not a theme either. What am I trying to hit right here? You know, I think this end of Season 1 was also love versus power, because we saw Aang trying to protect the koi fish and everything, and then Zhao doing all means to disrupt the spirit world and everything.
Well, and the whole Yue, Han, Sokka, whole thing.
There you go. Okay, love versus power. So the Season 1 finale was the series. And main theme of Season 1 together... You gotta say love versus power, balance, and destiny all entangled into one.
But look at 116 too. Look at the deserter. Look at the deserter. That's like the prime example of love versus power, pretty much.
Yeah, but that's, only, that's only the really thing in there that's major love versus power in season one.
Well, you know, you have to look deeper into this. You have to look like Zhao trying to take out the spirits, going all means to defeat the Northern Water Tribe, but at the same time, Aang's going to protect them, and the spirits giving up their eternal oneness, whatever, to go into
their immortality.
Their immortality, go in the real world to try to protect the Northern Water Tribe people, and stuff like that.
As fish.
As fish, exactly. Okay, so.
That's sushi.
Last comments.
Hidden Zutara?
No.
Yes. Come on.
Fine, give the Hidden Zutara.
For which episode I've got?
Whatever you want.
Of all the ones you just said. Or
the trilogy.
Here's the deserter. Katara didn't mind going to the Fire Nation Festival, which obviously means she was trying to look for Zuko.
Oh,
therefore, they will love each other.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, it's total.
You are amazing. Zutara, oh my god.
For the Northern Air Temple. Sokka
wasn't even in that episode.
No, just watch. Just watch. Sokka referred to Katara as an optimist. Zuko is not an optimist. Opposites attract. Therefore, they will attract.
That is
okay.
Cool.
Wait, I wanted to say something about the optimist thing.
Yeah. Well.
Oh no. What was Sokka's line in 117?
Which
about,
one?
About optimism. It's like.
Oh. You want me to tell the truth, or
wait? Are you saying, or no? Do you want me to be perfectly honest, or do you want me to be like you? Are you saying I'm a liar?
Let me find it.
No, I'm saying you're an optimist. Same thing, basically.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That was, like, summed up Sokka's character in the first season. That was a great line.
Yeah.
I loved that. But yeah, okay. Let me find that.
And they decided to actually develop him a little bit more.
Who? That was Sokka. That was barely.
Yeah, Sokka in season two.
I guess, yeah. Okay, yeah, are you saying I'm a liar? I'm saying you're an optimist. Same thing, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was a great classic Sokka there. And I completely screwed up that line, by the way. It struck me as hilarious. So, yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Keep going. 118.
The Waterbending Master. Okay. Sokka and Yue fell in love, and they were from different social classes. This fortune
oh, come on.
Due to their difference in social classes. Therefore, they will defy everything and get married.
Oh, wow. Okay, next.
Yes.
Siege of the North, Part 1. Zuko and Katara had a fight that was so obviously full of romantic tension. Therefore, they will one day be together.
Yes, you can feel the sexual tension.
Okay, next.
Siege of the North, Part 2. Katara did not object to allowing Zuko to live. Therefore, she loved him.
That is amazing. Oh my god.
Okay, that's the best part.
Dude.
Let's leave it off at that. Let's move on to our thoughts segment.
Wait. We have to sing Iroh's song, though.
Oh.
Which one?
Oh, yeah, Iroh's song was the best. Oh, yeah. Lisa, sing it. No, Lisa, sing it. Ready, go.
All right. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Four seasons, four loves. Four seasons, four loves. Sorry, I'm off tune because Iroh is off tune.
Perfect.
Don't worry.
Okay, yeah, that was great. So yeah, let's leave it. Actually, it was pretty good. Let's leave it off at that. Okay, now time for a thoughts segment. And what I want to talk about here for 5-10 minutes, no interruptions, people, is just the history. Because you're going to interrupt every 5 seconds. I don't remember that. So, yeah.
And what's the problem
with
that?
I don't remember that.
The history of the podcast / production of the podcast.
That's not true.
Exactly, Jake. So, I'm going to go just over the whole history and, yeah, basically. So, yeah, as most of you don't know, any of this. So the podcast started out in my little form, actually, who's
dead now.
it's actually gone. But the main admin HWB Rockstar, she I don't know, she's not anymore. See, it started out there, and we had a little avatar form, not very popular, but it became one of the more popular ones, like gradually, but then we had a really crappy host, which was, I don't know, whatever, and so we got killed off. CH, and AJ was on that, at that forum, at LAG. And so, yeah, AJ, we were listening to, unfortunately, WeFaCast, and it was with the good hosts, though, Gandalf and Vizzy.
Gandalf.
And they were amazing, and AJ was, like, their main listener and stuff, so he eventually, I've been thinking about it, so eventually he proposed to me that we should start our podcast for AtLag. And so, yeah, that didn't work out because AtLag died. So we moved on to, and we was like, where can we host it? And we were going to do it at AtLag and host it on one of those free sites, and where can we host it next? So here's something nobody else knows, and this is, like, the first time I'm revealing this between me and AJ. AJ was like, why don't we go to ASN and do the podcast there?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he was working on that, and he was, like, going to contact people there and everything. And I was like, because I don't know. I've never really liked ASN because of the whole thing that they're always number one, and I've always been working a site up towards them. I mean, that's, like, nothing personal there for ASN. That's just, like, the whole prospect of trying to catch up to them. AJ's trying to get ASN, and I'm thinking, so basically, my indecision and AJ's laziness may cause one of the major turning points in fandom history. Because if we went to ASN, think of how different the fandom would be right now. I mean, DF would still be down there. I mean, TV.com would be up more because Jake would be focusing more time on there. ASN would reign supreme, like, way up. I mean, they probably wouldn't have accepted us anyway, but you never know.
Yeah.
Because they're ASN.
We're too good for your podcast.
Okay, no ASN hating on there, but basically.
It won't.
And then eventually, I've been an editor on that entire Wikipedia group for a while, so then we have to put a poll up on when the featured article should be on the main site. So we go to Jake because, you know, I've been stalking TV.com and Jake for a while now, because I'm good at stalking people. So,
wow.
I'm better.
Good to know.
JJ didn't know I was stalking him, however. So we go to there, and me and Placebo, come, and we put a poll on the main site saying, should we have it on February 1st, 2007, or should we have it when the season 3 premieres? And Jake was like, that might not be until September. So yeah. So we put the poll up, so we got the Avatar article on Placebo, correct? So we put it up on February 1st, 2007.
21st.
February 21st, yeah. That was probably the greatest moment for me in fandom history, because we worked so hard for that.
I remember seeing that, and I, like, because my mom made fun of me for watching Avatar, and I was like, Mom, look!
Yeah, that was...
article on Wikipedia!
That was really hard to get that up there. And I think we're actually going through a process of getting the Aang article for the season finale, but that's more of a two-man job, because, I don't know, the group's kind of falling apart because of the stupid spammers, but whatever. So yeah, then Jake has post positions open. I get an admin job there with Don Gufang, and we start talking about the podcast from the second email with Jake. So eventually the podcast, I forgot to mention, back at AtLag, the first, we had a pilot podcast that we never, that no one's ever listened to. Me, AJ, and, Casey. No, right? No. Wait.
Are you talking to yourself?
No, right? No.
I have no idea.
You're talking to yourself. To whatever, like, yeah. Hundreds of people.
I completely forgot her name. I'd remembered if she was on AIM, but she's not. So whatever, yeah, so I think it was Casey. So yeah, they wrote, we did a little pilot podcast and it didn't work, so yeah. So,
that's nobody picked it up?
No, we had never published it and it was sucked. So.
Oh.
So I probably could find that on my computer somewhere if everyone could do that. Yeah, so we get the first podcast out and everything. It's me and AJ, and then it's me and Jake, me and Jason. And yeah. So we start off, and we're starting off, we've always been recording on Skype. None of us know each other. I mean, we know each other. None of us have met, like, in real life. And except maybe Kevin.
Unless I accidentally run into Jake at the Wawa or something.
And so, you know,
Wawa is amazing.
The Wawa.
It's going to happen, too, now that I've said that.
Wawa.
We record on Skype. In the beginning, AJ recorded on Audacity, and I used Audacity to edit. I've edited every podcast except number 11, I believe. Kevin edited that one. So, yeah, and we do the first four podcasts pretty unsuccessfully, and they suck. So then we bring in Kevin, and Kevin changes everything completely, and Kevin is totally amazing, and he makes the podcast 10 times
better.
Yes. So yeah, we also start a new format during that time. We have all these new things going, and Kevin records for 6-7 podcasts. And he records on whatever Mac program he uses, and yeah, it gets good. And then we start to go... Oh yeah, we had the shipping special within there, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And if the podcast page would load, there we go. So I can look back on these podcasts. So then we get into... Then the podcast kind of drifts away from being more DH people on it with the Fur DF Podcast Center, and we start to get actual Dongbufeng people on there, because Dongbufeng, we got a community going. We had some core members, and so we had Melanie and Joe on. And that kind of started the new era of the podcast. Joe started the new era. Oh, here's the story with Joe.
Oh my goodness.
Oh
my god. This is hilarious.
It's the 12th podcast. Joe has been begging me for weeks to get on the podcast. Like, yo, bro, can I come on? And I'm like,
isn't it the 11th?
And then he,
no, Dylan, it was the 11th podcast.
Whatever.
Yeah, because you said something about dubbing it the new season of podcast.
Yes, I do.
It was the 11th.
Okay, it was the 11th, sure.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Joe, actually, you got to remember, the first time we meet Joe, he was
hoisty.
He's spamming up the C-box, and we ban him. Like, IP, he goes, proxy, and it gets really annoying. So we can't get rid of him, so we have to deal with him. So he comes on, and he stays. So yeah, so basically the 11th podcast, I have Kevin on, and I have Melanie on, and we're going in some pretty heavy topics there with the season one. I need another person. So I mean, I don't think I knew Kevin was, so I was like, Joe, here's your chance to get on the podcast. Come on in like 2 seconds, get your mic ready, and if you want to ever have a chance of being on. So he does, and...
Dang it.
He's amazing. Why? And he's probably the most popular host out there. I mean, that's the thing Jake has to understand. Joe is popular, which is why he's...
Why, good. People? Why?
Yeah, why? That's
tell me.
The people. So yeah.
We don't know. We can't understand this.
He needs to stop IMing me with stupid stories.
Yeah, Joe and his stories. So yeah, then Joe comes
Well,
out
no, he needs to put them all in one paragraph. He separates them out, and it takes like 10 minutes for him to type it out.
Yeah.
So like,
then we get the Canadians. Then we get the Canadians on in 18.
And they don't talk at all.
They don't talk at all. No, Jody left me like alone during, what was it, 3:05? Fanboy service.
Yes. Yes. Greatest podcast ever.
It was. And so, yeah. Oh, here's another story. It's podcast 5. Me, Jake. Here's one you should remember, Jake. Me, Jake, and Jason are recording a character discussion for Katara.
Oh, yeah.
And we pretty much fanboy the entire time. Jason's the whole time is like, let's talk about Katara's Nixons. Let's talk about Katara's Nixons. And Jake's like, boobs. And so we get... I'm recording it. This was going to be the 5th podcast, but then it echoes. Because if you remember during the beginning...
Dang it.
It was echoing the whole time, and I didn't know it until we got too late. So that might be one of our blooper reels if I ever put out a podcast. That whole discussion. That was great. So yeah, back to the present.
The Lost Podcast.
15.
The Lost Podcast.
Exactly.
So
then we'd start our new format with the weekly podcast. Kevin does his... Because, see, before a podcast about 12-ish... Before podcast 12, we always recorded at 4 p.m. on weekdays, because that's the only time I could do it. But now, from podcast 13 on, we record 12 a.m. Friday nights, which means we lose a lot of sleep, but everyone can call. Yeah, Melanie was like, let's record 12 a.m. I was like, hey, that might work.
Yeah, it was just seriously.
But it
Dylan
works.
Took it seriously, so.
And yeah, we don't get to sleep now, but then everyone can come in this time.
Insomniacs for you.
Sleep, come on.
Yes.
Who needs sleep?
Sleep is for squares.
So yeah, and then we go.
I hear that one more time.
No, you don't need sleep.
So yeah, we just go and we do that format until Kevin can't do the weekly segments anymore, because that's a big task. You're recording an interview and editing it like down. He actually edits those interviews, though. He actually did. Because he recorded maybe an hour and a half. What some people need to edit down to 30 minutes, stuff like that. That's actual editing. I just do I do like skim over editing. I edit out stuff like
keeping
curses.
Out some of Joe's words.
Yeah, exactly that. I take out off-topic comments, and that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much all.
I pretty much leave the podcast. That's why we get 90-minute podcasts, because I leave it to be. I don't really edit out stuff. Because I don't know, I'm going for the more live feeling. Like, you're actually, like, with there talking us, which is it's how it should be, in my opinion. This podcast.
Except we can't hear you, so.
You can talk.
Yeah, you all are mumbling. We go on, yeah, and eventually Kevin goes off for a while, but then he comes back on. And now we're at the format we are today.
Yay!
So, yeah,
you have to give
make the podcast so much better.
Oh, okay. With your talking to everyone.
The girls are here tonight.
Yes.
It's amazing.
The whole time.
I make paint graphics. That's what I do.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
What is that?
Shane and I have read the DH chats about nothing that you guys can understand in the chat, and then we make random comments that people might be able to understand in the actual conversation.
Yeah.
Might the operative
word.
So, yeah, that's it for the 5 Might. History.
Dylan, I wanted to tell you earlier, you spelled original wrong in the outline.
Where?
In the outline.
I use spell check. Oh no.
Pages
doesn't spell check. Yeah, pages. I have to hit spell check because it doesn't have red lines.
Well, you like butchered that word, so.
Totally.
Oh,
or Age on Alley. Hey, that's how it's.
That's
spell it how it sounded.
Not
I spelled it how it sounded.
Spelled
that's
it phonetically. That's not right.
I don't care. Okay, so yeah. Thoughts on climate bending?
Dylan,
bending is totally going to happen within 312.
It is.
Azula is going to come up and attack. Aang is going to discover he has the power to control all the rain and wind, which
God.
He can do anyway with his regular bending, but let's ignore that aspect, because climate exclamation point bending is totally amazing. And
exclamation point! Climate bending!
It's going to be the most amazing thing
I've
ever seen.
Yeah, you like scream the first part, climate bending!
Exactly, that's all about
yes.
Spoilers from 312, climate bending is going to happen. Okay.
Yes, everyone's going to be wanting to do it.
Exactly. That's going to make Avatar the most popular show in the history of the world.
Yes!
And then Zhao is going to come back and he's going to be Aang's instructor on climate bending. And
yes!
And then that's how he got out of the water. Because he was a part climate bender.
He was a climate bender. He's an Olympic swimmer.
This is what happens
bender.
When there is a heat wave.
A heat wave.
Global warming.
Yeah, exactly. Aang's creating warming. What Aang does is he freezes the Fire Nation over and defeats the Fire Lord because they all freeze. Because
the Fire Nation
using
dude,
his climate bender.
It's
genius. It's genius. Okay.
No, what was it? Zuko was organizing the Green Peace event headed by Al Gore.
Exactly.
And Katara would be his main lady.
Oh god.
In Katara.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds like very bad Zutara fiction.
I'm so writing that now.
Probably exists.
Yes. Can't wait to read it.
So writing.
Yeah, where was that originally posted on now?
What, climate bending? That was on Watch Avatar.
Watch Avatar.
Watch Avatar is the worst site out there. I mean, I don't care if people are listening from Watch Avatar. You guys suck. Zimbabwe originated in Watch Avatar. It's...
Well, I'm sure if people watch Avatar right now, they'd be like, did it air? Where is it? Can I download it?
Yeah. It's like 312 climate bending. Oh my gosh, alternate ending. show me. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Zimbabwe.
By the way, 314 I've decided has aired in I lost it. Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
314 has aired in Ethiopia, guys.
Wasn't
it's
it? Wait, now I'm confused because there was like Zimbabwe.
Spread the word around.
Spread the word.
Exactly. Go to watch Avatar chat right now and tell them the official podcast that it was aired in Ethiopia. Okay.
Yes.
This podcast has been all inside jokes. Whatever, let's move on to the mailbag. Okay, so now it's time for a mailbag segment. It's where we answer questions you guys send on Avatar and address comments of podcasts, not really. So yeah, send questions to us at podcast.goofing.net. Because of limited time, I will not be able to address every letter sent to me, though I do read all of them, so do not hesitate to send in a letter just because I might not read it. Again, I read every letter four times. Four times I read every letter.
Contradict yourself, Dylan.
And then you forget about it.
Exactly. No. Okay. Okay, Shay, one read, on, Shay, read the first one. Peter.
Peter writes, what do you think are the chances of getting a soundtrack for Avatar, and when do you think such a product will be released?
Well, that petition is up to like 3,000 signatures now. So
wait, where?
The soundtrack petition. Find it somewhere. I don't know. I'm not.
Okay, I'm gonna go find that right now.
So, yeah, petition.com.
Avatar petition. Yeah, exactly. So I think. I think we're definitely gonna get a soundtrack for the movie. So
I can't wait that long.
Hopefully, exactly. I'd say it's about 50-50 we get it for the TV show.
Yeah.
I mean,
the track team has some Avatar tracks on their MySpace.
Yeah, you can check some of the tracks on MySpace. That's not enough. I mean,
it would come to the end of the series.
Yeah, that's how Luke Tripp did the remixes. He used the stuff from the MySpace page. So yeah, I don't know. I'd say the chances depend on how much we speak up. If we have a loud voice, Nicole will listen. I think they'll release it. I mean, the track team said they're more than willing to. So.
Right, yeah. Because we're totally not loud enough on this podcast.
The track team actually made a whole separate MySpace page just to fit in all their Avatar requests.
Mm-hmm. 3,588 signatures.
Yep. I got the 1,000 signature on that petition. Me and Jason were like, wait for it, and then I was 1,000, Jason was 1,001. That was great.
It feels so special.
Mailed in, and you can find the address for Nick anywhere on the internet, too,
by the way. So you send letters and good. That stuff. We want a soundtrack, but Nick's not going to give it to us unless they know we want it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I think Eric Coleman knows. Eric Coleman's been at Comic-Con for the last 3 years, so.
But, you know, the more higher-ups need to know, I think, really. Eric Coleman's great.
Well, he's pretty high up.
He's high up, but he's not, like...
He's not in charge of like licensing,
stuff like that, and non.
He's just content.
The fans want. Yeah, he's like, yeah, exactly. Okay, so Ruth next, Lindsay.
Lindsay writes, "If you could add another character to the gang, would you? And what would they bend if they could bend at all?"
Well, I would add Zhao to the gang, and he would. Bend, he would bend Klein.
How would that even work?
Now you see, after Aunt Zhao happens, Zhao gets kicked out of the Fire Nation for being a pedo bear, and he goes to the gang.
Oh my gosh.
That's gonna happen.
No, let me guess. Zhao is actually Aang's twin brother, therefore he is part Avatar, and...
Therefore...
Genius! Exactly. I never thought of that. Okay. So, seriously, could you add another character? I don't know, it's pretty packed right now in the Western Earth Temple, I don't know.
Yeah, our buds get pretty heavy unless Haru just...
falls off Appa somehow.
Trips or something.
He could just,
and
like...
Like, all of three of them. Just
like the goatee is somehow obstructing his view, and he just...
or Katara pushes him off.
Right off. Or Katara pushes...
Yeah, exactly.
I prefer
Zuko
the latter.
Pushes him off.
And then Zuko is like, my love,
I don't
want to
go out with you!
And he falls down with Hyrule.
Skydives down after.
And Haruko happens. That's what's gonna happen. So,
I'm not gay!
So...
But then that kills all potential for Zuko-Haru relationships.
Why?
Don't you remember when Katara pushed him down the hill and Haru felt so heroic?
Yes! Oh my god.
Okay. I don't think the gang that needs another member right now.
No.
What do you guys think?
No, they've got enough ready.
Papa could talk.
You
need to get some of them.
If Samurai Momo came back, that would be good. Yes. Okay.
Oh, Momo.
Yes, I will actually.
Oh god.
Okay.
Momo, you're small.
Thomas wrote and he explained several things in the episodes we missed with religion in relation to the episodes. And it was a great email. Very good. And we'll have a follow-up religion discussion at a later date. So,
discussion.
I know. I didn't spell check. And I also spelled several wrong. And yeah.
Yes, you did.
I point out my own type.
Discussing all. Is that a new Italian word?
Oh, God. Guys, this is.
Dylan's failing all his spelling tests, just everyone.
I did elementary school. See, seriously. Okay. So, yeah. I think I got my D and B confused once in third grade. That was pretty hilarious. Anyway. Okay, so, yeah. We're going to have another religion discussion. We'll save that email, Thomas, and we'll go over it. Not next podcast, at a later podcast. So, great, really good email. It's a very interesting topic, and you never know. So, Mel, next.
Okay, hold on.
Arthur.
Arthur.
Yeah.
Author writes, I think the title, The Boiling Rock, implies an interesting geological phenomenon. As we have been previously informed that the boiling rock in question is surrounded by a boiling lake, I submit my hypothesis that the reason the rock is dubbed boiling is because it has many bubbling hot springs and geysers coming out from underneath the ground. I believe this makes sense because, one, it's impossible for a rock to boil in this scenario. Rock melts at an extremely high temperature, well above the boiling point of water, which I assume is what is in the lake. And two, if the lake is boiling and there is an island right in the middle of it, any groundwater on the island would obviously be boiling as well.
You know, I do not remember why I included that in this segment. That's not a question.
Why were you? You were like, oh, you like, God. I was like, did I read something wrong?
I don't understand why I put that. It's very good scientific stuff. Basically, in conclusion, the rock actually isn't boiling. The lake around it is boiling. So yeah, that's it.
Boiling rock. That would be so cool.
Right. Well, it was probably he was responding back to the podcast from last week, which actually after... Duke and I stayed up and we're talking for length about
like
all sorts of
stuff. Oh my god, that's up until 6 a.m.
These are the things you need to record and put on that blooper reel.
Yeah, that's true.
We were just chatting. But one of the theories I actually came up with was, well, maybe the rock is another meteor like the one we saw in Sokka's Master, and it lands in the lake and causes the lake to boil. But who knows? I don't know. Mm. I'm bad at theory.
It's hot. It would cause the lake to boil.
So yeah, it's different
eventually
stuff.
Cool down.
So yeah,
and
okay,
Sozin's Comet dies.
Arthur also has
the original Sozin's Comet.
Arthur also has a pre-recorded question, which we'll play right now.
Greetings, all you from the spirit world, hosts and co-hosts. Arthur, aka Lords Angelos, from DF and ASN here, just wanting to ask you what your opinions are on possibly having pre-recorded mailbag questions sent in by listeners. Thanks for your time.
Very interesting. Arthur sent in a pre-recorded question asking whether pre-recorded questions would be good for this podcast. Very creative there. So, yes, guys, send me in your MP3 or WAV files. I can include them, I can play them. The only con is the co-hosts right now can't hear them because I didn't send them the file earlier. So whatever.
Right.
Good job.
Here's a solution, though. Send him your pre-recorded plus the transcript of what you're saying so that Dylan can then paste the question in rather than having to retype it.
Yeah, do that. What she said. Okay, so...
Good point.
So yeah, it's very... Guys, send in stuff like this. Great, it's... I don't know, it's a little more work for me, but I don't really care. But
Dylan,
I also...
Be lazy.
Yeah,
you're lazy, you care.
I'm in the process of trying to get a system where you can call me on Skype and it picks up my voicemail and I record that and you can just call me like that and do questions that way, but...
Well, we could be like Joe and call your cell phone on an airplane.
Long story, guys. Anyway, so yeah, I'm working on that, but it's the voicemail on Skype kind of costs money. And yeah, I'm not paying money. So yeah, we'll see about that.
You've got thousands of dollars.
If you know how to do it, if you know what I'm talking about, then you know how to do it. If not, then I don't know. We'll explain it in more detail eventually. So next is Jake. Justin.
All right. Justin writes, I just wanted to ask a question. The message in episodes 101 to 106, to me, is the tyranny of the Fire Nation. This is shown in 101, 102, 103, 104, and 106. They are trying to build the audience's hate of the Fire Nation, only to complicate things with Zuko, Iroh, and 306. The main thing to me of Avatar is equality, as shown in 219 when Pathik tells Aang that we all act like we are separated. I believe that the message of the show is to eliminate the need for hate and prejudice. What do you think?
Hatred for the Fire Nation is not it's not a main theme. It's not even... It's a point, I guess. After looking at it again, they are trying to establish that the Fire Nation is bad within the first couple episodes. But the point is not to build audiences' hate of it, it's to realize how ruthless the Fire Nation is in the point of view of the Water Tribe and Earth Kingdom. I mean, the people on the show weren't trying to get us to hate them. That complicates with the main theme of the actual show.
Yeah.
And it's not... whatever happens at all. It's just showing that there is hatred for the Fire Nation within the world, and they do bad stuff. And I mean, in the end, we see in the Fire Nation now that they're not all that bad.
Yeah, they're good people within the Fire Nation.
It's just their leaders that are corrupt. So, yeah. And separation being the main theme, as shown in 219, equality, separation, what did you say, Elisa, that the main theme is probably? Balance, yeah. Balance, equality, separation, all same thing. But, so yeah, you could argue, definitely. It's probably the most easily argued one. But I like going deeper, so yeah.
Sutar scene. In 220.
Elisa.
He is on.
Okay, Serpent Guard. Right? Yeah. Serpent Guard writes, "How much of a role do you think Zuko will have in killing off Ozai? Any possibility that he will actually do it himself?"
Very good question. I think Zuko established within 311 that he's not going to kill Ozai himself.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would just be pointless to have him kill him now. He could have done it 311.
How much of a role he have is very interesting, because, I don't know, the fic I was reading, Destiny's Call, Zuko kills Azula with lightning, but when they're attacking. But
totally.
Sokka's
going to be...
If it's in a fanfic, it's going to happen. That's actually a really good fanfic.
Well, no, that was a really good fanfic.
45 chapters of Katang, awesome. But that's actually one Jake would like, because that incorporates the real story within Katang, so yeah.
45 chapters, though? I don't think so.
Yeah, Jake still hasn't even read it.
Shorten it up.
Wasn't that the sequel?
Shorten it to, like, two sentences.
That's the sequel to Avatar in Training.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
it was great.
But anyway, aside from fanfics, Zuko said his role would be helping the Avatar, and the Avatar's role is specifically taking down Ozai.
Yeah.
So, basically, Zuko thinks he's going to teach Aang firebending, but during the actual invasion, it'll be very interesting to see what Zuko does. He could out be. Here's another possibility. He could be looking for his mother during the actual attack. Because they still have to incorporate it in that story, and we haven't seen it yet.
Right.
Right.
Who knows?
Guess what? We were doing constellations in science, and there was a constellation called Ursa Major.
Mm.
And did
they gave her.
Yeah.
And did you
really?
That Azulon in Spanish means big blue? Anyway.
You know what? Shut up.
Okay, so yeah. Interesting topic. We'll probably discuss that at a later date too. And then Branko wrote a great email again. Branko probably writes
Serpent
the most
Guard?
Nice emails out of everyone. We just did
really?
Yes, we weren't paying attention.
Wow.
So he wrote a great email again on Love versus Power, but we'll save that for a Love versus Power discussion, probably on podcast 29 or maybe a later one if I decide to do the religion discussion then, and then we could do the Love versus Power on 31. So if any of you have any comments on Love versus Power or Avatar State versus Katara involving Aang's upcoming decision in the season 3 finale, send them in now before February 1st. And we'll have it on the segment then. Like, that whole podcast may just be one segment or something. And it's going to be a huge discussion on that decision. Even though, I'm really starting to doubt what I'm saying about this now. I mean, my theory specifically and then Jake's, support. It's just, this whole thing is such an interesting topic. And Branko is very good at the... Mm-hmm. Email me if you want to come on, Branko. You're really good at discussing this type of stuff, by the way. So, that's hopefully that'll be our best discussion ever. I'm very much so looking forward to that. It'll be great.
Very much so.
Very much so. I couldn't think of something else to say there. Okay, so yeah, let's move on. Let's just close things out. Okay, that's all for this week's podcast. Send questions to us at podcast@dangufeng.net. Send us questions about Avatar for mailbag segment. I've been your main host for today. Co-hosts have been Jake, Elisa, Melanie, Ruth, Abby, and Shay.
Girl power.
Yeah. Me and Jake. Techno director AJ Kevin. Musical remixes by Luke Tripp. Dangufeng owned by Jake. You notice how much shorter these podcasts are without Joe on here.
it's only 10:50 right now. We started at 9:30 and it's only 10:50. It's only been an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's your, we started at 12:30 and we started working.
Yeah, it's been an hour and 20 minutes and then you're going to cut stuff out, so this is going to be probably around an hour 10.
It's probably going to be around an hour, yeah. That's great. So yeah, pretty pointless podcast, but who cares?
The hidden Zutara
is the most important part of the whole
Yes.
Yep. So yeah, next podcast we'll be discussing.
The canonist.
Next podcast is 316 title discussion. 316 title will be revealed January 25th. And then we'll discuss the season 2, the beginning, episodes 201 to 206. So yeah, let's go off with the unison climate bending.
Wait, what are we doing?
Climate bending.
Wait, you gotta say it really hard. Like, climate bending.
Three. Climate bending!
Climate bending!